I wonder when the last time was that you did a reset regarding the way you do life. Okay, so I'm actually kind of a dinosaur when it comes to anything that has to do with high-tech instruments and technology. I know how to do the basics, but if it gets any more complicated than that, just can't do it. So over the last bit, month or two, there were a couple of things that I use regularly that need a little attention. One of them is a Fitbit. I happen to walk a great deal. I like to use a Fitbit. Why do I use a Fitbit? Because it kind of proves what I've been doing and gives me this sense of accomplishment. But I noticed that over time, it was getting off, particularly off on what day it is, what time it is. I didn't pay much attention to it until I did some reading on it and found out that I needed to do a reset. And as I did it, everything came back in order. It's the right time now, the right day. It calculates appropriately what it is that I'm doing when I'm out there walking. Okay, reset. Same kind of thing had to happen with my telephone. Now, my kids and my wife keep saying, why don't you buy a new phone? I guess I'm just being stubborn. I don't want another new phone, but my phone is rather old, and it freezes up at least once or twice a day, which can be frustrating because someone's calling me, and I hit the button where you're supposed to be able to listen, and it does no good. And I have to wait for a while and then probably call people back. And so I didn't know what that freezing was all about. So I went online. I asked about that particular brand of phone. They said maybe it would be helpful if I did a reset. I guess a reset in some ways is calibrating your technology, if you will, in such a way that it becomes accurate again and it's functioning to its greatest capacity. Well, with that said, one of the things that had to happen in my life recently is that I had to do a reset. It's true that I have organized my life according to certain disciplines and certain rhythms that have been really helpful for me, and they actually keep me to some degree in balance. But saying yes to this and letting a little bit invade different places, all of a sudden, I was dealing with, some dissonance, internal dissonance. Anxiety was rising up more than it should have. I was finding myself less tolerant of certain circumstances and not having the energy I needed. And all of a sudden, I realized that I needed a reset. I needed to reconsider and to redetermine how I was going to live life so that I could maintain maximum credibility in my relationship with God, in my own well-being, in relationships with other people, and that I just needed to take the time to do this thing that I'm calling today a reset. So I'm going to tell you what I did and how I did it, and maybe there would be some interest in this for you, because it can be that life begins to creep in on us, and maybe every 6 months to a year, we got to stop, back up, if you will, quote, hit the reset button in order to establish once again what are the priorities of our lives. So the first thing I did was I began to write a list of priorities, and I'm going to share them with you. Maybe there are things that would challenge you. Maybe you won't get much from this, but I'm going to share it anyhow. So the first word that I wrote down was rest. Greatest priority in my life is rest. Now, I don't mean simply sleeping. Rest to me is a much bigger issue. Rest is being in a basic rhythm of life that best fits my need for well-being. Rest involves some practical situations like walking, getting a good night's sleep, making sure that my diet's appropriate. Rest includes for me things such as recreation, doing things that enable me to dial down, all for the purpose of recognizing that I'm at peace, peace with my world, peace with other people, peace with God. And so I have to prioritize rest. Rest is number one. After rest comes relationships. Now, relationships are not my time with everybody. It has to do with my time with certain people. And certainly, it's very important that the Lord is there. And he really sits at the top of that priority of, am I giving time to that relationship and investing in that relationship? And of course, my wife, my dear, beautiful spouse, Cheryl, and my children and that small group of people that are around me, and not so much individuals that I'm always serving that are part of what might be the company and the crowd, but who are those people at the core of my life, and am I making room for them? So I wrote down rest, I wrote down relationships, and then believe it or not, the next thing I wrote down was read, because reading really fills my soul. It unleashes creative energy. I learn things through reading. I find reading often brings a certain amount of consolation to my life. And I do kind of three types of reading. I do scriptural reading that would include both the Bible and anything that has to do with theology. Just got done reading a great book by N.T. Wright. Another book that I thought was very good recently that I read was actually one by John Eldridge, and I read normally about one of those types of books a week. So I'm reading scripture and theology. I also like to read in the areas of counseling and neurobiology, which I do regularly. And then I'm usually reading something that I call recreational reading, which has to do with things like biographical history. So I'm rereading right now a book called Revolutionary Summer by Ellis that has to do with 1776 and what took place there. So this is another thing that I invest in because it impacts not only my well-being and my information gathering, but also when I'm out speaking and serving. So there you have it. I'm beginning this list to say, boy, these things are very, very important to me, and I've got to make sure that I am investing in rest, in relationships, in reading. Well, I wrote some other words that I won't spend a lot of time in, but envisioning. I think vision is important. Capturing a vision, a prophetic vision for what God wants for me and for the ministry that I have. Creativity was the next word. I like to create. Does that mean writing a blog or doing a podcast like this or maybe writing another chapter? I just wrote an article for a magazine. Those things are important to me. After that, I wrote investing in others in order that they can raise up in their leadership, kind of a legacy commitment. Then I'm off and I put down next leading. I lead a couple organizations and then teaching and speaking. And what I'm writing there is that these are, in fact, priorities, but not just priorities listed together, but priorities listed in order of priority. And so I did this because it becomes for me this idea of resetting. Now, why do I do that? Because it's so easy for me to say yes to too many speaking engagements, and the next thing you know, I'm speaking more than I am resting, building relationships, reading, envisioning, and creating. So all of a sudden you see something's out of order when that which is of a lesser priority is taking all my time, and things that are the greater priority are being neglected. So I did a reset. This reset involves not only writing these words, but looking at how I will specifically invest in each of these. And then obviously, probably in 6 months, just like my Fitbit, it may be that things are off a little bit and I need to think about it again. Now, I don't know what a reset would look like in your life, but I want to encourage you that it's a very healthy and, if you will, biblical thing to do. Look, there are times in the life of Jesus when people wanted Jesus to do something over here, and he basically would say no because I need to invest over here more. You know the story in Scripture where there was a time of healing that came on a particular village. People were all coming from places around to be received healing. Jesus went off that night to pray. He comes back and he says, we've got to leave. Why are you going to leave? This is something that's important. And basically Jesus said, I've got to reset. This isn't what I'm supposed to be about right now. And you can see that several times in the way he did life. And so I think this is an important piece because if we're not willing to discipline ourselves to look seriously at the way we're doing life, the next thing we know, we can be controlled by circumstances rather than controlling our circumstances. I wonder if you do a little inventory right now and ask the question, do you need a reset? Excuse me. Are first things being neglected because other things have come in to that space. You know, it's not hard to just take an hour and sit down. And even if you do like I did, use one word phrases, identifying priorities and short phrases. For me, they have a lot of meaning. My reset involves rest, relationships, reading, envisioning, creating, investing in the leading of others toward maturity, teaching, speaking. Now I'm able to gather around those basic concepts and really begin to see some movement there in my life. I think it's a healthy thing to do. This isn't the first time I've set reset, but it is the first time that I've really thought about how easy it is in life to get the calibration off, and that you have to spend some time looking at where you are now, what life is like, what are the priorities, and making sure you're being faithful to those priorities. There's a lecture that I do. I taught this for years in theological seminaries, that if you have no non-negotiable commitments, everything becomes negotiable. And so if you're not really committed, for example, to rest or relationships or reading or whatever it might be, if you haven't really committed to that as a non-negotiable, the next thing you know, you negotiate those things away because you're so involved in other things that have crept into your life. It doesn't mean they're not important things, but sometimes they're not the most important things. That's why that old adage that the good is the eternal enemy of the best comes to play as we begin to think about these things. I always go back to that little phrase from Socrates that there is a barrenness in busyness and that we need to beware of the barrenness of a busy life. The problem isn't the busyness. The problem is that that busyness often begins to sneak in and it begins to take from us the priorities that we know must be in our lives in a non-negotiable way. So you're a brother, a sister in the Lord. I know you love Him. I know you want to grow in Him. I know you want to experience well-being. Simple question. Is it time for you to do a reset? You'll know. Do you feel a little internal dissonance? Does it feel that your schedule is controlling you rather than you controlling your schedule? Does it seem like there is a longing for something you can't even put your hand on, your finger on, if you will? Well, those may be all the symbols that say it's time for a reset. Sit down with the Lord prayerfully and ask Him to show you what are the priorities of your life and to what degree are you investing in those priorities and how do you rearrange your life in order that those priorities can have the attention that you really need to give them to experience the well-being that God wants to bring to your life. Look, I wouldn't share this if it weren't important. It's important to me. It's been an important exercise just to write these words and to remember these are the things. As people are asking for my time and clamoring for me to do A, B, and C, I can't just move by their urgencies. I need to be able to recognize what are the priorities in my life that lead to the best me as a person, as a servant, as a husband, as a father. And then make sure that I'm recalibrating my life accordingly. Well, will you think about that with me? Until we're together again.